Happy Easter. We continue our 50 days of rejoicing in the Lord's resurrection. I was talking to a parishioner who told me that she was at the airport recently and she had wished one of the attendants Happy Easter. And she looked at her and said, "Oh, we're done with that." And she looked and said, "No, we're not. Not till Pentecost." So we've got 50 days of the Easter season and we're just at the third Sunday. You may have noticed we have some TV screens here in the sanctuary. Recently, I got an Xbox, and I decided that the space in the rectory wasn't big enough. No. After the homily today, we're going to watch a video from the Archdiocese on the Archbishop's Catholic Appeal. So the TVs will just be up this week, and then they'll be gone, I promise. So this gospel is one of my favorite gospels. One of my favorite ways to pray in the morning is to actually use this text. I use it pretty much throughout the entire year. And I like to, in my imagination, sit at the campfire with Jesus after the resurrection on the Sea of Galilee. There is the fish is baking and breakfast is being prepared. And to enter into a conversation with the Lord. So every time I hear this gospel at Mass, I get really excited. But the problem is today we're trying to fit in a whole bunch of things, so I have to really squeeze my homily super short and get to the really heart of what Jesus is doing. So, but beforehand, I have to do a little Greek lesson. So, some of you know that the New Testament in its entirety was originally written in Greek, right? All of the books of the Gospels, the Epistles, Revelation, were written in Koine Greek. And in the Greek language, there's four words for love. And all four words are used throughout the Greek New Testament. And that's really important because in English, we tend to reduce, we only really have one word, love. Charity. But in Greek, there's four. There's the word sturge, which has to do with, you know, I like somebody, I have an affection, you know, but not a super deep friendship with them, right? It's an acquaintance. Then there's the word philios, which is the Greek word for the love of friendship, right? And the ancients took friendship very seriously. Then there's the word eros, where we get the word erotica, romance. And then lastly, in the New Testament, the most important word for love is agape. Agape is the unconditional, sacrificial, self-giving love modeled by Jesus Christ. It's the divine love that's perfect, unconditional, and continual. So when our Lord encounters Peter on the seashore, he enters into this holy exchange. And what he's doing is he's trying to allow Peter to be healed from his threefold denial. Remember, on Holy Thursday, Peter, impetuous as he was, said, "Lord, I would die for you." And Jesus said, "Peter, before the cock crows three times, you will have denied me." Well, Peter kind of had a dose of reality because after he had denied the Lord three times, the cock crowed, and the gospel tells us that he looked at Jesus and he wept. So the Lord is now trying to resuscitate the spirit of Peter through this threefold proclamation of love. And in the Greek, what he says to Peter is, "Peter, do you agape me? Do you love me unconditionally?" Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I filio you." He's not willing anymore to be so impetuous and to say, you know, "I'll die for you," because his love has been humbled through his fall. He says, "I love you as a friend, but I know I'm not quite there, Lord." Jesus says again, "Peter, do you agape me?" And once again, Peter says, Lord, I filio you. And this is the catcher. The third time, Jesus says to Peter, Peter, do you filio me? And he says, yes, Lord, you know everything. You know that I filio you. I love you with the love of a deep friend. Jesus says, feed my lambs. See, Jesus doesn't insist that Peter has to come up to his place of agape love. He sees Peter's poor capacity to love, and he takes it for what it is and affirms it. How powerful is that? Pope Benedict XVI, commenting on this, said that we follow Christ with our poor capacity to love, and yet Jesus accepts the love that we have to offer. God doesn't make the demand that we love him at first perfectly the way that he loves us, but he delights in any love that we can offer him. And he promises to take that love and to purify it. And Peter will later on, at the end of his life, love Jesus with agape love. When he's martyred, when he's killed by the Emperor Nero and crucified upside down in witness to Jesus. How often do we feel inadequate in our love for Christ? And yet all Jesus wants is the humble efforts that we can offer him. Jesus is reaffirming Peter's call as the rock of the church. Because if you remember, when Peter had professed his faith in Christ, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said to Peter, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against her. He was given the keys of the kingdom because of his faith, but it was necessary for him to have denied the Lord so that Peter and the foundation of the church was not just built on faith, but built on mercy and built on the forgiveness of sins that flows from the cross of Jesus. Peter had to come to know from inside his need for God's mercy, something that all of us know all too well. So we find great solace in Peter, knowing that the Lord will take our poor capacity to love and delight in that love that we give him. Praise be Jesus Christ.